Are you ready to open an investigation into your hormonal health? Welcome to the Decode Your Hormones miniseries, hosted by your hormone balance founders, Ryan and Candace Birch. Let's crack this case open. Hello, and welcome back to Decode Your Hormones. This is Ryan. And in our last episode, I was joined by my mom, hormone health educator Candace Birch, and we talked about how to find the right hormone testing for you. And before that, we explored the three main stages of the hormonal life cycle and how common symptoms women experience are associated with hormonal changes and fluctuations during pre, peri, and postmenopause. Now, today, we're going to follow up on the conversations around decoding your symptoms with my sister, certified health, mindset, and breathwork coach, Jess Sukan, who specializes in helping clients build awareness around their hormones, supercharge their menstrual cycle, and develop micro habits and rituals that create abundance, not create overwhelm. So welcome, Jess. Thank you for joining this special episode.
I am so excited to be here. I love, love, love this. I love your intro too. It's the best. And it's just fun to be doing a different type of interview with you.
I know. It's fun. We're not used. So Jess and I have our own podcast, Solo 2.0 podcast, and we generally are co-hosting it. So I'm not usually interviewing her. But today I'm really looking forward to getting into specifics around how you help clients track symptoms. Jess has worked with hundreds of women over the years, and also how you help clients develop these micro rituals and habits in their day-to-day lives. So let's start with, when a client comes to you feeling overwhelmed, maybe dealing with hormonal symptoms and concerns and feeling disconnected from their body or unsure what's going on, where do you usually start?
Yeah. So usually when a client comes to me in our very first session, it's really what I call it a day in the life review. So basically, we will go through an entire day in their life that's what they would consider to be quite average. You know, everybody's day is going to look a little bit different. So sometimes we'll do a weekday and a weekend if the weekend is very different from the weekdays. But really, the goal of this is to just gather as much information as possible. Me being a little bit of a fly on the wall into their daily rituals and routines, and also giving them the ability to really bring in that self-awareness and really think about, okay, how does my day start? How do I feel when I wake up? What is the first meal of the day that I'm eating? Is it before coffee or after coffee? Am I skipping breakfast because I have to take my kids out the door for school and I'm grabbing, you know, a coffee and maybe a protein bar for later, but not eating till lunch? And then, you know, we work through the whole day, not just what they're eating, but how they're eating. Are they eating while they're driving? Are they eating while they're sitting down? What's their mood like? What's their energy like throughout the day? Are they working out? Are they walking? What are their stress levels? Do they have, you know, a very high performing, high demanding job? Do they also have kids? Like, what happens at the end of the day when they get home, if they do go into work? What does that evening routine look like? Do they have nighttime rituals or not? So it's very comprehensive. And I always tell them, I'm going to interrupt you a little bit here and there just to go deeper, because sometimes they'll give me surface answers and I just want to go deeper and deeper. And so normally the first session is the entire hour is filled with that. And for them, it's usually very helpful because, like I said, it brings awareness to some of the habits and patterns that they have. And my job is not to make anybody feel overwhelmed by that or to feel guilty or to feel like, oh my gosh, I don't want to share this part of my day because it's embarrassing or you'll judge me. And I always say that up front. This is literally us being compassionate detectives into your body, into your day, to get as much data as we can, because from there, we'll be able to optimize your nutrition. We'll be able to optimize your workouts. We'll be able to optimize your routines and rituals, your nervous system, to be able to support the way that you are desiring to feel, to be able to, you know, maybe the person wants to have an easier premenstrual week that's not filled with symptoms, or they want to bring back a missing period, or perhaps they want to release stubborn weight mixed with low energy, like whatever that is. I'm looking at it through the lens of what their goals are and how they want to feel. And from there, it's okay, let's take all of this and let's start with something small. I always like to start with the morning because I feel like the morning sets the tone for the rest of the day and it creates this domino effect. So we can talk more about that if you want, but that's kind of the first place that we start, and it's layering on week after week. I'm never going to give my client a laundry list of things to change or overhaul in their life. It's really starting with awareness. It's really starting with, like, you know, and I always reflect back the positive habits that they do have. You know, I noticed that you're getting in a lot of whole foods, like you're prioritizing movement, like you have so many incredible habits, because pretty much every single person that comes to me is being intentional in some way. And it's just more so, we just need to make some little tweaks and adjustments to best support your unique biology, your unique body, and your goals.
Yeah. And one thing I will say about you being your sister and always being honest with you about what my daily struggles are, and also hearing how you help your clients, you excel at meeting people where they are, and exactly like what you're describing, not making anyone feel shame about it, but just how do we move forward from here? Guaranteed there's going to be something positive that that person is doing. Even if not, it's so much better to be so honest with yourself or a coach like Jess while going through this process, because it's just not going to, it's not going to help anyone starting from a day that's not actually reflective of your, you know, giving your best day or like your healthiest day. No, we need to work on the days that are most common in our routine. And that's where that domino effect starts to really build. So
yeah. One thing on that too, is I always say, you know, we're looking for opportunities here. It wouldn't feel great for you to come to me with all of these symptoms and areas that you want to feel better, and I'm like, oh, it's a perfect day. You're doing everything just great, you know, and there's nothing to change. Not that perfect is even a thing. We don't want to strive for perfection, but you know what I mean? It's not, it wouldn't feel good for them for me to say, just keep doing what you're doing. You know, we're right. Looking for opportunities. And so you're giving me opportunities for us to do a deeper dive and to make these little tweaks and adjustments that build over time.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is an exercise you can do at home with pen and paper, examining your day. Really helpful to go deeper with a coach for sure. But certainly we're not here to like give ourselves gold stars. It's about finding opportunities for change and growth. So also, yes, we want to celebrate our accomplishments and what feels really good. But definitely when you're looking to make change, especially in hormone health, we want to find those, like you said, opportunities and areas to up level. And one of the areas we really have to zero in on for hormone health in particular is tracking symptoms or identifying signs and symptoms of hormone imbalance. So I know you have your Supercharge Your Cycle membership and course, and you work with a lot of your clients on cycle syncing support. So how do you help clients track symptoms? What are some of your favorite ways? And maybe we can start with, for those that have a cycle that's, you know, they're able to track the phases of their cycle. And then also for those who don't have a cycle, or they're on birth control, so they don't have a regular period, or they're even postmenopause. So maybe dividing into tracking symptoms with a cycle and without.
Yeah, so I would start with an app. I mean, I think it's just the easiest way. You can definitely use a journal, but I feel like for most of us, if we're trying to track symptoms, we might not be at home. We might not have our journal with us. So if it's in real time, I think an app is the most helpful. And I mean, all of us are on our phones way too much, but that's like another story. We'll have our phones on us, that's for sure. So we'll be more top of mind to track. So I like to use a cycle tracking app. There's a lot of amazing ones out there. But for women that are wanting to focus on cycle syncing, fertility, symptom improvement around their premenstrual week and period, I like to bring in basal body temperature tracking, which is a way to track if you're ovulating or not and to be able to see your fertile and non-fertile days. And that can't be done through just like a regular cycle tracking app. That's a myth. Most regular cycle tracking apps, even if they're incredible, like MyFlow is a really good one created by Lisa Vitti. 28 is another one that I love a lot because not only does it help you track your cycle, it tells you about the four phases. It gives you nutrition and even movement recommendations and little demos. And it's very like spiritual, kind of feminine based. But even with that kind of an app, that is great for tracking symptoms, for putting in changes that you're noticing throughout the month and correlating habits and patterns to those changes. But it will give you a prediction day for your ovulation. It does not know exactly when you ovulate. The prediction day will come because, you know, most women will ovulate about halfway at the midway point in their cycle. And so let's say that you have a 30-day cycle, the app might predict that you're going to ovulate on day 15. But some women ovulate earlier, some women ovulate later. So if you really are trying to plan or prevent pregnancy, you want a lot more accuracy than that. So I recommend Natural Cycles, which is really great. And with Natural Cycles, you can also track your symptoms in there. So you don't necessarily need another app like 28. You can do it all in that one app. So it's kind of up to you. So I like that. And I actually, inside of my membership, we did a 7-day tracking challenge where I had everybody wake up in the morning and spend 2 minutes in the morning and 2 minutes in the evening just going in and tracking and putting their symptoms. And it couldn't be easier because it gives you all the symptoms. You just have to click on it. If there's one that's not listed, you can type it in really quickly. But then it wasn't just, okay, let me track my symptoms. It was, let me start to look to see on the days where I'm really tired or I have breakouts or my boobs are hurting really bad. Does that align with where I'm at in my cycle? Have I had more stress? Was I eating completely out of my normal routine? And being able, again, to be this compassionate detective, to be able to draw habits and patterns. So not only can you shift things, but so that when you go to meet with your doctor, your OBGYN, and maybe, you know, you have questions, you can bring some of this to your doctor too, to advocate for yourself a little bit better.
Yeah, that's great. And on that point, when you talk about basal body temperature tracking, that does require either a specific thermometer or one of these devices like the Oura Ring or Daisy, the armband. You know these products better than I do, but just to specify how that differs from just like inputting your period length or symptoms, the basal body temperature is something that actually does need to be tracked with a thermometer or a device that can assess that.
Yeah, so basal body temperature thermometer is not your normal kitchen thermometer. So don't try to use that. You can use Natural Cycles, which has a prescription based model. And it's now covered by a lot of insurance companies too. So it's free for most people if you have insurance. And then you just have to super bill it, I believe. But anyway, it comes with a thermometer that you can use first thing in the morning before you get out of bed. So we won't go too deep into it, but essentially when you use a thermometer, it's your temperature is very sensitive to things like getting up to pee or if you had alcohol or you were sick or traveling. So it requires a lot of consistency in doing it first thing in the morning so that the app has enough data to more accurately give you the right algorithm. Or some people will just get a basal body temperature thermometer off Amazon and track it, and it's called charting. That honestly, I wouldn't recommend. That's so much work. I would use an app that has an algorithm. You can also attach your Oura Ring to Natural Cycles. So if you don't want to use thermometer every morning, you can just wear the ring, and it's kind of more, it's easier because it's set it and forget it, but it is a lot more expensive. Natural Cycles is covered by insurance, and Oura Ring is like $400 for the Oura Ring. So it just,
but it's a one-time cost, and then you have like a $5 subscription or something. Yeah.
And you get all of these other, you know, you get your sleep, your HRV, you get all these other metrics that you can track for your health too. So my Oura Ring just died and is broken. So I'm looking at actually maybe one of the new rings that have come out that's kind of like a Oura Ring dupe, I suppose. But there's a lot that are coming out now that are more affordable and, according to the reviews, can be linked up with Natural Cycles too and work quite well. So I'm looking.
Do you know any of the names of any other wearables?
I actually just had ChatGPT compare a bunch of the dupes, and I think the one I narrowed it down to is called Rincon or something like that. I would have to double check. Oh, and sorry, I did mean to mention, like you said, there's the Daisy, which is another tracking device that takes your temperature. There is the temp drop, which is an armband that you can put around your arm so it tracks your temperature overnight. So there's a lot of different options. You kind of just have to compare and see what fits your lifestyle and your budget.
And so, and just also keep in mind that certain factors can throw off the predictability of ovulation if it's consistent that you're reporting things that can impact your basal body temperature. But the algorithm also updates your findings based on what you report. So you do have to be pretty thorough in reporting some of your lifestyle habits. But it's not, I mean, it's not too many things, but.
No, it's really easy, and you just have to learn the method and you just have to get consistent with it. And that's why I personally loved having the Oura Ring, because sometimes I would forget to use the thermometer, or I would travel somewhere and forget the thermometer, but I always had the ring on me. So I think you just, consistency is key, and really learning the method and pairing it with tracking your symptoms, tracking things like your cervical fluid changes, which the purpose of this episode is not to get into all of that, but just know that if you're really wanting to use these the symptothermal method, which is what it's called, which is a fertility awareness method as a form of non-hormonal birth control, you do want to learn how to do it accurately so that you're not just like doing it willy-nilly, because obviously we don't want you to get pregnant mistakenly.
Yeah. And also for those who do not have a predictable period, who aren't sure where they're at, so maybe they have absent cycles right now and they're not, they're not over 40 or over 50 and in menopause, but they haven't had a period for a while, or their cycles are completely unpredictable. How do you help those women track and even use some of these apps?
If your period is irregular, I still do have my clients use like the natural cycles, even if it's missing, because you want to see if you're ovulating at all. Like for somebody who has irregular cycles, they're probably not ovulating consistently. I mean, I can bet that they're not, but we want to see, okay, are you ovulating at all? Another reason to use natural cycles would be if you're on the hormonal IUD, because there is a large percentage of women, especially after the first year of using the IUD, that start ovulating again. So you can still be ovulating with the IUD, not hormonal birth control pill, but the IUD. So it is helpful to know. And you can still track your symptoms in there. So it's still very, very beneficial for someone who has no period at all or is in menopause. One thing I like to do, and this might sound woo-woo, but there's the moon phases, and every menstrual cycle has four phases, and the moon actually has four phases too. The average moon cycle is 29.5 days. The average menstrual cycle is 28 days. The moon cycle is the new moon, the waxing moon, the full moon, and the waning moon, which correlate with the different menstrual, follicular, ovulatory, and luteal. So in my membership, I actually will have these women download a moon phases app. The one I think that's my favorite is called, I believe, Moon Calendar. But there's a lot of different ones, and there's notes in there. We could put it in the show notes. I need to find the right one. But the one that I like has, you can put notes and symptoms with each phase. And so what's cool is if you don't have a cycle and you still love the idea of cyclical living and cycle syncing, you can follow the moon phases. And once it's, for example, the full moon, you can treat it like your ovulation phase and follow similar recommendations that you would if you were cycle syncing with regular ovulation. And I like this because it just changing, adjusting your nutrition, your movement, your self-care with these different moon phases, as if they're the d different menstrual cycle phases, you're naturally going to be getting more cyclical nourishment and practicing like moving with your energy and getting in the right supplements and things like that that could encourage, if you're still of menstruating age, a cycle to come back. But if you're not and you're in menopause, it's still a really nice practice to have. If that's a little bit out there, you can use any kind of journaling, any kind of like symptom tracking app. There's a whole bunch of different ones to really track how you're feeling, your mood, your energy, your symptoms over the course of the month and how they change with your lifestyle habits.
I love those suggestions. It's just about having an intentional practice that sort of forces you to check in with yourself and track these symptoms. So either way, those are great suggestions. If we could, this is a bit of a curveball, but for women that do have a cycle and are tracking, are you able to share, because you mentioned we want to track these symptoms in an app, we want to associate what's happening in each phase with hormonal changes happening in the cycle, so you can start to kind of connect the dots and make sense of, oh, that makes sense that I have a headache during menstruation. That makes sense that I'm having a little bit more anxiety. So if you could just give like a few examples for like what are some common symptoms that women might experience during menstruation and then onward for each phase, just a few examples based on the hormonal changes happening.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm glad you asked that. So, if you get into the menstrual phase, I mean, it's kind of obvious that cramps, period pain, feeling tired. That is a very common experience for women. A lot of these symptoms that I'm going to be saying are very common, but they're not normal. It's not to say that cramps necessarily aren't normal, but they shouldn't be debilitating. They shouldn't derail your whole day. It shouldn't be. I remember when I first got my period and I was like, what is this cruelty that's been bestowed upon me? And like having mom put a heating pad on me and like missing a day of school and just like crying. And it's like, that I feel like is so normalized in the media, but it's not actually how it should be. Like some women will have to skip work or call in sick. And if that's you, that's, a sign from your body that there's an imbalance going on, that your body just needs some TLC. So I don't know what your experience is like at this moment, right? But for me, I will have some light cramping the first day of my period, and sometimes a little bit the day before. But it's very manageable. I don't take anything for it. I'm not pi popping ibuprofen. Like it's very manageable and then it's gone. So, and a little bit more fullness is normal too. But having like terrible bloating and cramping, that would be an example of something to keep an eye on. And then that's where, and we don't want to go too deep into this, but if you're a client of mine, I would be looking at reducing inflammation and I would be looking at foods that we can bring in to support with that, in addition to certain supplements also, and then just kind of like changing your workouts and your movement to support that. And then once you get into, let's say like around ovulation, for example, like follicular phase about to be in ovulation, some women might experience breakouts. And that is interesting because if you're someone that follows cycle syncing, you may have heard that around ovulation is when your skin is glowing, it's vibrant, like it's the you're just like a glowing goddess at ovulation. And that can be the case for a lot of women because of estrogen and because estrogen helps to increase collagen in the skin. But testosterone also rises and peaks right before ovulation. And testosterone, if you already have somewhat high levels, if it then increases past your already high levels, testosterone can create more sebum or oil production on the skin and create breakouts. So if you're someone who's like, I don't understand, I'm not a glowing goddess at ovulation, this is bullshit. It could be that, we need to take a look at your testosterone levels and do some things to support that. Or potentially there's, imbalances happening where estrogen and testosterone peak, but then already your estrogen and testosterone are high. So we need to look at ways to support your skin. So instead of, oh, like, why does this keep happening to me? It's okay. Could this be maybe I need to test my levels and see if my testosterone is high and then start to bring in some practices to reduce that? For the luteal phase, there's a lot because the luteal phase encompasses the premenstrual week, which is where a lot of women experience really sore boobs, severe bloating, cramping, headaches, migraines, which is something I've experienced, anxiety, depression, sleep issues. Again, all common, not normal, especially when they're more severe. And so, for example, one thing that gave me a lot of compassion and grace and understanding for myself was there was times in the month where I was just ravenous and I didn't understand why. And I'd be like, why am I so hungry? And I remember I would always eat a snack at 4 p.m. on the dot. And I remember that there was like a week out of every month where at 3 p.m. I'd be starving. And I'd be like, I don't understand. I've eaten the same meals as normal. And then I'd be like, you shouldn't be hungry yet. You just ate 2 hours ago. And then I would kind of like force myself not to eat anything. And then I would end up just ravenous later and maybe overeating. Well, once I learned that it's at ovulation that we produce progesterone, and progesterone is a thermogenic hormone that speeds up our metabolism, we actually need more fuel. Most women need about 200 to 300 extra calories per day. Once I just found that out, I had compassion for myself. During the luteal phase, I would have my snack at 3 instead of 4, and I would add a little bit more protein and fats to it, and that nipped it in the bud. So it's like stuff like that that's also so empowering. Instead of being like, God, like you're so, like you just don't have willpower. Like, why are
Right.
you so hungry? You understand, oh, my body's going through this process. Its metabolism is peaking. I need more fuel. I'm going to feed myself more fuel, and I'm just going to feel better and more balanced throughout the whole day.
Oh, that's so helpful. And one thing I wanted to mention too is during menstruation, estrogen and progesterone are at their lowest levels. So for women who are in menopause or maybe who have not had a period for a long time, even if you're younger, those that the men the symptoms during menstruation can mimic the symptoms during menopause because of those low levels. So even things like headaches, very common when estrogen is low, anxiety, brain fog. So that's good to keep in mind as well, even if you can't relate to having the four phases at this time.
I mean, that's been like the bane of my existence is the estrogen drop and getting migraines because of that. And I mean, a lot of women will experience that after pregnancy too. Like their migraines, if they ever get migraines, will completely go away because they have so much progesterone. And then once they give birth, then progesterone and estrogen drop, and then they experience these migraines. Or like you said, in menopause, they'll, have that drop and experience that, which is where bioidentical hormones in the right amounts with the right guidance can be very beneficial.
Yeah, and essential micronutrients and herbs and it's, symptoms like headaches, anxiety, brain fog, they can be multi-layered. There can be many elements within why that's happening. And so for you, someone with headaches, just to speak to that, a big piece of that was hormonal for you around menstruation. And you've also had headaches your whole life. So you were able to identify that that was a root cause, but you also had to identify that stress plays a role in triggering that. During like really stressful periods of time in your life, you've noticed that.
And
Or
mold.
mold exposure mixed with, which can also be a stressor, but that also was a factor. And then also, you've needed chiropractic adjustments structurally. That was a factor. So it's not always just hormones. It can be so many factors, but the hormone piece often is huge. And so addressing that, if it's through symptom tracking, if it's through testing to identify the specific imbalance, then making those targeted lifestyle changes can just make a world of difference, which, you're a living, breathing example of that with your main symptom that you've experienced being headaches and then having such changes from taking a multi-pronged approach.
Definitely.
Well, let's move into daily practices and rituals. You talk about, you've kind of coined the term romanticizing your rituals, and I love that. Can you explain what that looks like in day-to-day life for you or for your clients and some examples of that?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of women can probably relate to this, but when I was in my 12 years of yo-yo dieting and being very, when I was on, I was very strict and rigid, and everything was a protocol and a procedure and a routine. And I think that once I broke out of that and I allowed more flexibility, like my whole phrase now is flexibility within boundaries. Once I got to that place, I actually started rebelling against routines because I was like, I don't like that. It feels so boxed in. And like every morning I have to do the exact same thing. And every night I have to do the exact same thing. Like, what if I don't feel like doing that thing? And I've noticed a lot of women that come to me that have these morning routines and nighttime routines, and they literally are just checking boxes. And so many of the women that I work with are highly ambitious and high achieving women. And so type A, which I am too, and we love to check a box. Like, I love to go through my task list and check a box and celebrate that. But at what point are you just checking a box to do it? And at what point are you actually checking in with your body to ask yourself, is this what I need today? So, part one of this is that I recommend that when you wake up in the morning, you do a little somatic, like a body-based check-in, where you just put a hand to the heart, hand to the belly, breathe in, or even just, stop, breathe, take a moment. And just note how you're feeling, even before you input your symptoms in your tracker. How am I feeling? Am I groggy? Am I tired? Do I feel energized? Am I excited? Like nervous butterflies? Like what? How do I feel? Like am I sore from my workout? How am I feeling emotionally? Am I feeling any sensations in my body? And then from there, okay, what do I actually need today? I know for me that when I wake up with anxiety in my chest, I know that I need to really lean into my meditation practice and my breathwork practice, and that I probably need a longer morning routine. I probably need an hour instead of 30 or 40 minutes to journal, to meditate, to maybe read a little bit. So when I talk about romanticizing rituals, once I've chosen what I actually need based on how my body feels, then it's like, I do have a morning routine, but it's flexible. And I go out onto the couch and I light my candles and I put on our little fireplace, electric fireplace, flip the switch. make myself, lately, I've been making myself, especially, okay, so this has been new, but especially since feeling some anxiety in the morning, I add my little Moon Juice Magnesium L-theanine blend to this collagen blend that I have, and I just mix it in water and it tastes really good. And I start my day with that, light the candles, and then I start immediately with the meditation and the breath work before reading, before book, because that really helps to calm me and helps me react to the day instead of responding to it with my phone. And so it's just romantic, right? The candles, the little drink goes in a nice glass. After that, once I'm done with my rituals, I'm making myself a little protein latte. I have my protein latte station. So I'm getting in my protein and my good fats and nourishing myself. But it's a routine. It's a ritual. It's romantic. I have my mug that has butterflies on it that I love. Like everything just feels really romantic and fun and luxurious and not like this force or this should. And that really helps to turn something into a habit, to be more consistent with it, and to actually wake up excited to do it versus it just being another thing on your to-do list.
I love that so much, and the details are everything. And it's true. When I come to your place, you have beautiful glassware, you have beautiful napkins, you have everything. You create a vibe, and it's a low to zero cost way to upgrade how you feel in each day. These things do not have to be expensive. And another example, you often go to a coffee shop or to even a 5-star resort near you in Orange County, and you don't pay for an expensive meal, you get tea and you have this beautiful view, and maybe they bring you some little snacks, and you've had this now luxurious experience for almost nothing by just getting out of your routine and thinking strategically about how to just elevate how you feel.
It's like literally down to the pen that I use to write in my journal. And people might think that's crazy, but like the pen that has the butterfly on it or the little mantra on it, and like also the way that the pen writes. Like my husband knows I'm crazy about pens. I'm like, oh, I don't like the feel of that one. Like it's just the little things that you don't think make a difference, but they do. They really do make a difference in your desire and attraction to doing the thing that you're going to do. And if you've ever read the book Atomic Habits by James Clear, he always says you want to make the habit that you want to cultivate attractive, and you want to make the habit that you want to break unattractive. So
Yeah, give us an example of that, like an unattractive habit to break.
So or you make it difficult. You add some friction. So, for example, if you wanted to come off of drinking wine every night to wind down, you instead of having the bottle of wine in the door, like where we're in the door of the fridge, where you open the fridge, it's right there. It's so easy to pour. You would take the bottle of wine and you would put it in the very back of the fridge, behind all the milk bottles, behind the kombucha, behind everything else, and then have your, maybe it is kombucha, up front, and your little magnesium scoop with your fancy glass next to your sink. And instead, you pour the kombucha in a wine glass and you add your little magnesium scoop and make yourself a bougie little sleepy girl mocktail. And that way, it's making the habit you want to cultivate more attractive, and it's making the habit you want to break less attractive and more difficult. You're creating friction around it.
So smart. I love that. And even just starting this year, I'll share that I work from home, and last year was in the habit of just getting up, doing nice things that I liked, like playing connections with my husband in the morning and making tea. But I wasn't showering and getting myself really ready for the day. And I was even letting dishes pile up from breakfast. And suddenly you're living in this feeling of just kind of like, it's again, a low vibration kind of place. It's just kind of, but
Right.
these are things that move around the schedule a little bit. And it's suddenly so easy to fix those problems. Like now I'm letting my husband take our dog on a walk instead of feeling like I needed to join every day, and starting my mornings where I'm gonna wash my hair and it's more of a production, starting my mornings right away with that. And it's so easy and obvious, but then that leads to me just putting on my little SPF face sunscreen, a little lick of mascara, and actually then feeling more motivated to put on maybe more of a real outfit instead of athleisure. And then just immediately noticing how I'm feeling in that in from the rest of my day, and now intentionally, doing the dishes the minute I'm done with breakfast, so I'm not walking into that room and feeling that clutter pile up every day. And that's not maybe the most romantic example, but also there's just strategy here in daily habits and rituals, and looking at how you can tweak things too.
Yeah. And like another example I'd give, if you're a mom that has kids, I have several clients that I'm like, it's stressful when they're cooking dinner and their kids are running around. And it's just this whole thing. And like, why don't you turn on some really fun music that you and the whole family love and have the kids like get them little aprons and have them do one little part, like crack the egg or put the toppings on top, have a taco bar, where everybody's like building their own and it's in little bowls. And like, you just create this family experience, and that becomes a memory that you'll look back on, and that your kids will be like, oh my gosh, like I love taco nights growing up. And they'll just remember like dancing in the kitchen. And, it's like, who cares if the eggs get on the ground and there's flour on, like, who cares? You can clean that up. But these memories will last forever. And it's also a really great way to teach them to make meals for themselves and to also show them that, mommy takes care of herself and she asks for help. And it's this ripple effect, and it really does make all the difference. And so it's stuff like that. And I don't have kids, but I turn on like every night lately, I'm like, hey, Alexa, play vibey jazz music. And I light candles and I just have a vibe. Or sometimes, depending on the stress I need to move through, I'll be like, play 2000s explicit hip hop, and I just dance it out to like Lil' Kim, How Many Licks, So it
Yeah.
just it, it's it all makes a huge difference. It really, really does. It might sound so small, but it shifts your energy, which shifts the way that you show up and treat yourself and the choices that you make.
Oh, absolutely. So to end on a note of wins and real life experiences that you've seen from clients who have tracked their symptoms, incorporated more supportive daily rituals. What are some examples of changes that they've seen, or even within that, examples of romanticizing their rituals, or things that you would love to share?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest, like for me, the biggest compliment, I guess, I would hear, or that makes me happy, or testimonial, I guess, is when clients tell me that like they look forward to their rituals now and they get excited to make their, I mean, I have so many clients now making their bougie protein lattes. Like I feel like probably every single one of them at this point. And they have different variations on them and their bougie mugs that they use or
I love it.
the things that they, you know, they're very tuned in now to how they start their day and what choices they make and how it actually makes them feel. And I think that's important because we can get to symptom improvement, but in order to improve your symptoms, I just did a whole workshop on this. We are so focused as a society on the goal itself. I want to lose weight. I want to get my period back. I want to like get rid of my acne, like whatever it is. We get so hyper fixated on the goal itself, but the results are not going to come overnight. You can start making all of these changes and you might experience little improvements in the first week or second week or third week or month, but it's going to take some time. If you've been experiencing these things, especially for a long time, it's going to take a while for you to rebalance and start to see significant results. So if you're so focused on the goal itself, every time you look in the mirror and your acne's still there, you're going to be like, oh, what is going on? Like, is this not working? Or every time you step on the scale and it's not down a pound, then you're focused on that. If we can flip that to focus on the daily commitments and promises that we make to ourselves, the daily action steps instead of the end goal every single day, like that's something we can control. We can't control what the scale says every day. We can't control if our skin is going to be cleared in 3 days or 3 weeks. We can control the action steps that we take in order to get the result that we want. So I just encourage you to focus more on the actions and how can you romanticize them so that you're actually enjoying the journey instead of waiting for the destination to be happy. And so a lot of my clients will say, I'm enjoying the journey to weight loss. Like I'm not where I want to be yet, but I'm actually enjoying it. Like I'm living my life. I'm still able to go out to dinner with friends. Like I'm able to go on trips. I have more self-trust. I trust myself to make the choices that are going to be best for me in the moment, and that feels so good. And then the more that they do that, it's like compound interest. It accumulates and then they start to experience results in a way that doesn't feel forced or pressurized. So, I mean, I've seen clients lose weight much more effortlessly than they ever have before. I've seen clients improve their premenstrual symptoms, get back. I mean, I have a client right now who's 22 and had basically never had a period from years of trauma and chronic stress. And she has a period now, and she actually is wanting to study to become someone who helps women get their periods back. So it's stuff like
Awesome.
that where it's not, you know, I just think that we hear all of these like overnight success stories. And yes, you can experience changes pretty quickly, but I just encourage you to focus on romanticizing rituals, tracking symptoms, keeping those little promises that you make to yourself, and over time, the results will come.
Oh, that's wonderful advice, and it is. It's having these sort of metrics, these things you can look at that you're doing, you can see how far you've come. So that's the beauty and the value of tracking, of checking in with yourself, of having rituals that feel good and that you want to continue. So thank you, Jess. There's obviously so much more that we could have gone into, but I would love to end by having you share how women can find your education, your materials, or work with you.
Yeah, so you can follow me at Body Bliss by Jess, and my website is bodyblissbyjess.com. I have my Supercharger Cycle to Align with 2.0 Self membership, which is honestly just a hub for ambitious women to come to start to reconnect with their bodies, get in sync with their cycles, and elevate their mindset so that they can experience results in all aspects of their life. So they can truly not only supercharge their cycle, but supercharge their self-leadership, their success, their self-trust. Because the thing that I don't think we think about enough is that health is the highest form of wealth. And once we invest in our health and we learn to work with our cycle versus seeing it as this like monthly setback and see it as our superpower instead, it creates a ripple effect out into everything, every aspect of our life, our relationships, our ability to make more money, even like our happiness, our passion projects, like our family lives. our confidence in ourselves. And so it's not just to improve a symptom, it's to ripple out into all aspects of your life. So, recommend checking out the membership, which we'll put in the show notes. And then if you're interested in working one-on-one, we can put that in there too.
Beautiful. And I also want to plug our symptom quiz. It's super thorough, comprehensive. I'll put that in the show notes as well. Another great place to just get a check on, are these hormonal symptoms? Could these be, something that I can improve through looking at my cycle, looking at my hormones? So definitely check that out if you haven't already. And thank you, Jess, again for joining Decode Your Hormones. This has been so helpful and informative.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
Love you so much.
Love you.